Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. Ray, jump on that. With 33 games left, if you're looking at the Maple Leaf roster and you've got to put money on one guy, one player, and you say, that's the guy, I know he's going to have a great 33-game run. I know it. Who would you put money on?
I would say Matthews. He just looks different to me. Like, I don't see a big, you know, hole coming for him to step into. I don't see that his game has the ups and downs like it used to have even earlier in the year. It seems like he's in a really good groove and he's an awesome player. So I would pick him, but going to take, you know, it's not basketball, right? It's going to take a few of the big dogs to have good 33-game runs for them. And Noodles, you know, you guys are right. The goalie, they don't have a choice. It has to be.
Right.
He's got to be one of the guys because they're not all of a sudden going to turn into the 95 Devils and check, check, check. That's not going to happen. So it's got to be Marner. It's got to be Matthews. Like the top five or six guys, they have to drag the team. They have to.
Yeah, they do. And they're capable of doing it. Like, it's funny because of the history of the position, and it might speak to what it represents now. We haven't mentioned the captain at all, but he's got as much at stake,
yep,
as anyone else because of where he is in his career. The fact that he came here, the Islanders made it last year, and they won a round. I think they're going back again this year.
Yep.
I don't know if that factors into his thought process at all, but first year as the captain, and you're staring at two options. You either get there and we look back and we forget about the 82 games and you got there. Let's see what, you know, we restart the clock. Or in your first year as the captain of your favorite team, you're part of what will be absolutely considered one of the biggest disappointments in the history of the franchise.
There's a lot there, isn't it?
Yeah, there is.
You know, like if Florida wins their next game, right, there's another 2 points for them. They come back. They have a great, kind of an amazing comeback last night in Minnesota. And say you're four back. You know, I know it's only a couple of games and there's still 30-plus games left, but, man, those games are good. We talked yesterday. Those games are going to melt away pretty fast, and the pressure's going to ramp up. Like, in 3 weeks, when you're in February, it just feels like there's no time left. Even though there is, there'll be lots, 25 games left. But, man, there'll be a lot there if they don't find a little bit of a groove here pretty quick.
Yeah, and it starts like Monday night, right? They're coming off the All-Star break at Nashville. And
how much would that one worry you, Ray? Off for 10 days and then fire it up in Nashville.
I'd be worried about it because not that it's Nashville. I mean, the guys will... You know, it's probably the best time to go to a place like Nashville where the guys have pretty much had their fill of doing whatever they're doing here for the last week or so. But playing on the road after a long break would always worry me. You got to travel. You got to kind of get your head back around the whole deal. And let's not forget, Nashville is clearly playing for their lives. Like, they're in tough shape here, and they've got to put a run together.
Well, and they're still trying to impress their new coach, so we don't even know if they've got that new coach bump yet in Nashville because everything's still recent as far as the coaching change, and now you have that break. You can imagine what they're thinking in Nashville, the coaching staff. Like, they've had no time to really work with this team, and now, you know, they're on a break too.
Right, they might look at it like, okay, everything's fresh. You come back, the guys, there's no more surprises. This is our team. We've played a few games. You kind of know what our system is and what we're trying to do. Like, maybe it is a good time for Nashville. But whatever I said about, you know, start of February 3 weeks from now and the game's really ramping up for Nashville, it's now. Because they get much further behind and... You know, it's
going to
be hard to catch up.
With Ray Ferraro, a TSN hockey analyst. So some pretty groundbreaking news or information, I guess, with Connor McDavid today in terms of the injury he actually suffered, how severe it was in the last game of last season. even though the statement that was issued and the message coming out of Edmonton and McDavid and his camp was, hey, it's all good. You know, just a couple nicks and bruises. We'll be fine. Turns out he was facing, based on, I guess, the opinion of a couple of surgeons, really significant surgery that would have cost him the whole season this year, may have affected the way he skated in the future, the way he played in the future, may have affected his career in general. He decided to bypass that and go through very extensive rehab. And obviously it worked because he's magnificent this year. He looks better than ever. You'd never know that he dealt with what he was dealing with. But we were talking about it in the previous hour, Ray. I mean, there are so many different approaches to it. How it I guess, will boost his profile, not that he needs it, but in terms of just his dedication.
Right.
How did this information not get out? How different would the league be, would the Oilers be, if McDavid wasn't playing today? I mean, where's your first course of action? When you hear news like that, what's the first thing you think of?
That he was probably pretty lucky, too.
Mm-hmm.
I've had significant knee problems, and they played a big portion in the arc of my career.
Did you ever do something wrong, Ray? Like, did you ever have options, and you kind of look back and was like, man, I can't believe I got talked into that one?
I didn't get talked into it, but I did it. I had a meniscus tear, and I had a scope, and I played 11 days later, and which seemed like a hell of an idea at the time because we were in a playoff race. And after every game, the doc and I would go into the back medical room and they'd drain my knee. And I forget how big those syringe tubes are, but we'd guess, would it be one full one or one and a half? Or, you know, and my knee would be like a big and puffy, and then they'd take all the fluid out and it would be back to normal. And then we'd ice it and wrap it up, and then I'd take the next day off practice and play the day after and do the same thing again. Like, how stupid was that? Like, you know, obviously my knee wasn't ready for the rigors of a game. But at the time, you're in, and you're like, yeah, I got to do it. So for McDavid, so they get this medical advice, and then you've got to throw your heart into the rehab and not really look back at, oh, gee, I could have had the surgery. But you got to get lucky. Like, your body's got to respond the right way. If somebody else with the same injury went about the same process that Connor McDavid did, maybe the results aren't the same because nobody's body is the same. And Matt, you say, like, what would the Oilers be like without McDavid? Well, I think we probably know that answer.
Yeah, they'd be a mess.
We know what the league would be like because, you know, the best player is not there. It's like when Sid was gone for well over a year. The league's just a way better place when these guys are involved and when they're playing and when they're at the peak of their game. And, it always seemed like, oh, yeah, he'll be fine for camp. And then you read and go, he's a little more dicey than that, or a lot more dicey than that.
Well, yeah, one of the first things that I thought of, too, was, because we've had this conversation many times, when is load management going to show up in the NHL? And now that we have this information, how is he not going through some load management?
Because they're fighting for the playoffs.
I understand that, but he doesn't have a one-year deal. He's not retiring at the end of the season. They're not winning the cup anyway.
Look at the only load management big profile. Kawhi is on two teams where they're like, take 10 days off and they're still fine.
Right, but
like, I don't think the NHL is going to embrace load management. I think load management is taking practices off. That's what it is. It's not games.
And they already do that enough.
It's practices. Like, that's where, that's way above my pay grade as far as these workouts and guys who are specialists with the bodies.
There's also lots of talk about the small market teams and salary cap. They don't want Edmonton going into Carolina and no McDavid.
No, I know that, but I don't think the pressure's on as far as that. I think it's all you care about is playing 82 times. We don't care what you do up until those 82. So if the games are spaced out nicely or reasonable, you can play and don't practice. I mean, that was the thought process with Gallant and Marc-Andre Fleury early on in the season. Now, he had some stuff going on. Ray, I think you could speak to it too, but like, I think that's kind of what teams in the NHL are doing. They're managing practice, not games.
Yeah, there's another thing. So he's back and playing, and if we're talking about load management in relation to Connor McDavid, he's cleared, and he's good, and he's healthy, and he's 23 or 4 years old, and he doesn't need a day off because he probably feels strong and feels healthy, and and he's young. He can handle the load. As you get older, maybe that, and in 3 or 4 years, maybe they will bite into this a little bit because there's going to be, or there is, less and less practices to take off. I don't know, was Kawhi practicing at all last year?
Or not extensively.
Right. Like, some guys will resist it, but eventually your sports science team will say, no, you need this day off. You need these 3 days off. I often look at a team that's, in solid playoff position. They got 3 games in 4 days. Why don't they take one of their older defensemen and give them the third, say it's game, day off, game. Give him that second game off. So he's got game, 2 days off, game. Like, why not do that? You got 8 guys on your roster on the back end anyway. But right now, certainly, it doesn't seem like anybody's got an appetite for that.
No, and I think ultimately it's got to be player-driven, and it's got to be a player of a status of McDavid.
Yeah.
Make no mistake, right. Kawhi Leonard was pushing it more than the Raptors were pushing it. Like, we interviewed Nick Nurse a lot of times last year, and he was being honest with us. He's like, guys, I don't know. Like, yeah, the sports science is involved, the team is involved, but I kind of get the impression that Kawhi was the one that was actually dictating, I'm not playing tonight. And chew on that. And it was like, okay, we got it. And
which is so weird.
It is weird. And I credit McDavid. I don't think his reputation can be boosted any more than it possibly is already. But I think this can only help. I mean, this guy's a warrior. He's a workout freak. And he wants to play and he wants to win. But let's be clear here. If McDavid goes to the Oilers and says, I'm only playing 60 games, guess what's happening?
He's playing 60.
He's playing 60 games.
Yeah.
They, like, Ken Holland isn't saying, no, actually, you're playing 82.
Yeah, no.
He's playing 60 if he says, I'm playing 60.
And now, the third-line right winger doesn't have that same
absolutely
option.
Not.
But I think that rings true for most star players.
But it has to be for a purpose. Like, it can't be like, I don't feel like playing. Like, McDavid clearly was like, guys, you got to understand here. I might miss the year. I'm going to work my ass off to get back.
Yeah.
But I want to play another 15 years. I'm playing 60.
Yeah.
I think that'd be totally reasonable.
It would be.
Right? Like,
but I did.
And full credit to him for saying I'm playing 82. It's amazing.
But to Ray's point, if he was 28, we'd probably be looking at it a lot differently.
Well, and doesn't that's what I fear a little bit here, like putting the cart way before the horse. But, like, his skating, when you hear skating and him changing his stride, it's terrifying as a hockey fan. And you think of Bobby Orr. Like, that's so drastic, clearly. And he was well before, my time. But, I mean, or he had all those knee surgeries, and it was just like, I can't do it anymore. And, I hope it doesn't get to a point like that.
Well, they've got different technology.
Yeah, have you ever seen
him? Well, yeah, there was no technology back then. I don't know
if you
even saw
the
pictures of Bobby's knees. It was like they used a machete to get in.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
No, I'm not trying to issue scare tactics. But what I'm saying is you start loading up. Ray, you went through a lot of knee injuries. I'm sure you skated and played a little bit differently at 33 than he did at 23.
Your body just doesn't do the same thing.
Right.
I'm envious of the players today that, with the medical advancements for surgical procedures, but also the rehab, what's changed, what's grown, what's been learned upon. Man, it would have been awesome to have that at our disposal. But that was the time we lived in, and things were different. In a lot of ways, right?
You're right, Ray. I actually had a conversation recently with a general manager, and we were kind of tongue-in-cheek joking because I was actually talking about my first NHL trainer, Eddie, which you had too, Ray. God love him. We loved him. But, he didn't have the medical background that is available to these players today. And the manager said, we have 6 medical specialists in the dressing room or available to these kids and a nutrition specialist and all that. I said, I had a trainer who smoked in the training room. Like, I'm not lying. And like I said,
I don't
think
some of these guys, Jamie, it's that much better, because you look at some teams, they got sports science, they got six medical guys, blah, blah, and they're, all their teams are always hurt.
Yeah,
so,
but
like, what the heck are these guys?
But you could have the best doctors, and then some guy gets run into by a 230-pound forward, and he gets hurt. The docs are not going to help you then.
Yeah, there's not much you can do on that type of stuff. But it's just, you know, the access and the information process that has come, you know, that far in the last 25 years has been amazing. And that's what these players have right now in front of them, is that type of support for anything that goes on. Whereas years ago, I told a story in junior, our bus driver was also the medical guy, was also the stick guy, the equipment guy. Like, it was a one-stop shop.
Team services.
Yeah. And the guy lived at the rink, too.
He was really team services. He was everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ray, before we get you out of here, when you watch the Masters this year, would you have any appetite for watching Tony Romo be on the ground following and commentating Tiger Woods?
Not really.
Yeah, me neither, bud. We got to fly.
What did I just step into here?
A complete lack of context, a complete lack of backstory.
Yeah.
Naturally, the work wasn't done. It was a lazy throw-out question.
Yeah, he thinks right that this guy should be transitioning and also doing golf.
No, I said, if he's going to garner $10, $12 million a year, I'd be willing to stake a bet that CBS is going to say, we need you doing more. He's a scratch golfer. He's played on tour. He didn't make the cut, but he's played on tour.
He's played on a tour event.
That's right. And I think he's spectacular. Like, I think he's a great personality.
Awesome.
It's entertainment, and I'd be all good with him being a part of the Masters coverage.
Well, why the Masters? Why can't he start with the John Deere?
Well, that's what Duffy said. So that's what I think of your opinion. You and Duffy are on the same page. He could start there, but if for $12 million a year, guess where he's starting?
Well, I wouldn't. I don't know what. I'd prefer to listen. And I think Tony Romo is awesome. Love listening to him. When he was talking about the Kansas City Chiefs coming out the half the other day, and said he thinks they could get 100 points in the second. Like, I just love the way he's just so enthusiastic. But I'd prefer to listen to a seasoned golf announcer talk about their experience and their experience around Augusta than a guy there for the first or second or third time.
Okay.
Who's not really a golfer. That'd be my
preference. That's fine. And that's the beauty of this conversation.
I told Brian that Nance is his guy for football, but if he was asked, he'd probably be like, I don't want Tony here at Augusta.
I curled once in high school. Could I be doing curling color then?
That's what people keep saying.
Brian Mudrick.
That's what people keep saying.
Ray Ferraro and Brian Mudrick calling.
And Vic Rauter on the grounds.
Oh, well, Vic has to be there, does he not?
Legend.
Oh, yeah, legend.
All right. Okay, that's enough of you guys. Thanks for coming out.
Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, Brian.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm in a great mood now. All right, buddy. We'll do it tomorrow. Fine.
Later on.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They will pay your holiday bills up to $1,000 when you lease or finance a new in-stock vehicle throughout the month of January. Visit MapleToyota.com.